You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
We're back. You're listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World. I'm your host, Rainey Petrin, President, Founder, Manager, Mentors, along with my partner, Dave Carson from the UK. Again, welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Rainey.
Now, Dave, proper training of all the key players is critical to your mentoring program success. Let's talk about this. Okay, let's talk about that. Who are the key players? Anyway,
Dave. Key players, mentors, number one, mentorees, and mentoree managers. And, of course, the program manager.
Absolutely. And this is an area that has improved over my time in the business. Years ago, Dave, I would call potential clients, and they would indicate they had a mentoring program but didn't provide any training and didn't cover all three of these individuals. They just felt like all there was to it is just putting two people together, and that was basically it.
Yeah. I think that's similar to here, Rennie. In fact, you know, and I do mentoring in the community, and I've had to go through specific training, but they don't do any training or briefings for the students that I go in and see, and that can be a real stumbling block to starting the relationship off, no question about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, we're clear that, you know, mentors as key players are the ones who help facilitate the development of the mentoree. We're clear that the mentee is the one basically who's there to be able to use the value of a mentor in helping themselves develop in the ways they think are critical, that are part of the company's strategic vision and also what their vision might be for their own career. And the mentee manager has a role to play here too, Dave, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you think about it, Rennie, if you were part of a team and you were going off to be mentored by someone who maybe, you know, maybe a grade or a couple of grades above the line manager, how are you going to feel? You know, what's actually going on here? What are they talking about? Are they talking about me as a line manager?
Yep.
And so there's a lot of things that in mentoring that are seen, but some of the critical aspects are the things that are unseen. And I think if we don't address these issues, particularly with the mentoree managers, then we could be heading for trouble. Now, I don't know about the sessions that you've run there in the States, Rennie, but some of the sessions that I've run here in the UK have been some of the most fulfilling training programs that I've run because mentoree line managers come into the training session with all sorts of issues and all sorts of thoughts about mentoring. Completely misguided in some cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you sit down and talk with the mentoring managers and you reassure them that you're not trying to undermine their position and talk to them about how the relationship works and the communication areas, they really go away feeling good about the whole program. And I've had some fantastic feedback. And I think that's a real plus for any mentoring relationship to have the support of the mentoring manager.
Absolutely, because then they buy into the system. And when they buy into the system, they can support the developmental efforts that the mentee might want to make. They can go back to their boss and say, you know, I'm working on this in mentoring. You know, could you support me in helping me do this stuff or what have you? So there's a real link there, and there's real value being brought to the table. So it's really important to involve the mentee's manager in this process. And then there's a final player, and that's the mentoring program manager. And I know, Dave, you and I have always felt this is such a critical role within the mentoring relationship. And the person really, I've seen good programs go sour because we didn't have a very effective mentoring program manager. And I've seen programs that was just so-so who could be really salvaged by a very effective person playing that role.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, Rennie. And, you know, just to the point that when you leave the training room, that mentors and mentorees know that there's someone who's the focal point, someone who's keen for the relationships to succeed, someone they know has got their finger on the pulse, someone they know wants to share in their successes, etc. It's such a good thing, because you and I both know, Randy, that mentoring programs do need tending to. You can't just let them go. Otherwise, they will go.
Yep.
And mentoring program managers really do keep their finger on the pulse.
And so one of the things that we do when we talk about training the key players, you talked about, you know, having those sessions with the mentoring managers, which we do here in the States as well. One of the things that we do as a company, which I think is unique, is we work with a program manager and certify them at the end of our Men Pilot program. So they spend about 100 contact hours with the experts, yourself or myself, in understanding what mentoring is and being trained to how to manage these relationships and how to intervene appropriately, be proactive in making sure these relationships succeed. And that's really, really important. And that's the other piece that I think makes us different. And then the other piece is that we train mentors and mentees, obviously, in mentoring. And that's a critical distinction, isn't it, Dave? Because not everybody who says they do training and mentoring actually train in mentoring, do they?
Well, no, and we discussed earlier that sometimes they train in coaching, but more often than not, they train in some sort of communication skills and interview skills. And they forget some of the basics. And one of the basics is really in managing expectations. And, you know, that's really a critical piece in making the whole mentoring relationship work.
Absolutely.
And, I think, Renny, we do have, you know, a role play that we can listen to where we can hear two people, mentor and the mentoree, discussing their expectations.
Absolutely. So let's listen in on this one, and then, you know, we can see what works and what doesn't work.
Okay.
Now that we've had a chance to get to know one another a little, and the time we have remaining today, we should also begin to talk about what we expect from each other in this relationship. I would like to give you an opportunity to share your expectations first so that I can be sure that I understand them, and then I'll share mine.
I've thought about this, and here's what I've come up with. I would like to meet on a regular basis. I want to focus on how to grow my career with the company, especially in management. I expect that our relationship would be confidential, and I hope that we can have an open and honest relationship.
That's a great list. Let me see if I understand what you mean. When you talk about expecting to meet on a regular basis, what specifically did you have in mind?
According to the program guidelines, we are expected to meet once a month for an hour to 1.5 hours. But I was also wondering if there would be other contact points beyond that one meeting.
You're right that once a month is the expectation, and I can do that. I'm certainly open to more than that. What were you thinking along these lines?
Well, it would be great to call you if I needed to talk with you before we actually met. I don't mean calling you every other day or so, but only if there's something that can't wait.
That makes sense to me, but here's a suggestion. What if we agreed to have a scheduled phone call once a week just to check in? We could slot 15 minutes, and if we needed more time, we could schedule another time to talk longer.
That would be great.
Good. Is there anything else about meeting that you want to discuss?
What about using email? We could communicate that way as well.
I prefer face-to-face or phone, as I think they are better forms of communication. But we could use email to send information prior to our meetings.
Okay.
Anything else on this issue?
No.
All right. Then what we've agreed to is that we'll meet face-to-face once a month, and we'll schedule a weekly 15-minute phone conversation to touch base in those weeks when we do not meet. We'll only use email to share information. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes.
Great. Let's move on to your next expectation.
So what do you think of that discussion, Renny, about a mentor and mentoree setting their expectations?
I think the mentor was very effective. I mean, Robin, who's the mentor in this case, is really, really taking the time to listen to what Grace is saying, but also to clarify and then come to some agreement about it. Because I think, at least in my sense of understanding that scenario, Grace was pretty direct in some respects, but she was very quick to kind of agree. And I think that had Robin not spent a little bit more time just really, really, if you will, getting down to the real nitty-gritty of, you know, let's meet, let's be specific about that for how long and what have you, they might have had a sense of agreement but not really agreed on anything. And so I think that Robin was particularly effective in really getting down to what the real expectations were.
I mean, she had a good phrase there. Good. Is there anything else about meeting that you want to discuss? There was always that prompting for the extra.
Yeah.
But Vinny, what I would like to draw out for the listeners is the process that the mentor and mentee used. For example, who asked who to set their expectations first. I think that's really critical in the relationship.
Absolutely, Dave. Yep. And we know that in this case, it was Grace, the mentee, who had to define the expectations first.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it should always be. Because, you know, I always tell mentors, if you state the expectations first, your mentee is likely to agree. Because they figure that must be the expectation you're supposed to have, which is why I always say that in this conversation, it's the mentees that should articulate their expectations first, and the mentor clarify those and then agree to it before they move on and eventually share their own expectations. And this was nicely done in this particular scenario.
Well, you know, I think also, Renny, that reflects in the training we do, because one of the key aspects of our training is setting expectations. I mean, I don't know how you found it, Renny, but certainly in the UK, when we set this training program off setting expectations, some of the stuff that comes out is quite incredible. And, you know, we spend a lot of time on this one exercise, and there's so much comes out of it.
Yep.
And at the end of it, people sit back and say, wow, you know, I'm really looking forward to this, because people come with so many issues. Don't you find that, Renny?
Exactly. And that's why I think it's so important to go through this process. Take the time to articulate, clarify, and agree on expectations that you're likely to have a more successful relationship. Well, we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, we'll recap some of the issues we've been talking about and move on from there. So we look forward to the next segment in Mentoring Matters.